This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at livenation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
When you meet a burger that's got as much drip as you do, you know it's time to start rocking the napkin bib with your fit. No shame. Once everyone catches on to how fresh and juicy the double quarter pounder with cheese is, they'll all be stunting napkin fits. I swear.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings Cast. It's Daily, joined by my co-pilots, Liz and Naima. How are you?
Hey, everybody.
What's up, y'all?
DeMar DeRozan is a Sacramento King. Unbelievable, crazy weekend, right? I always felt where there's smoke, there's fire. But then this weekend, that really seemed to be the case. What were you guys doing when all the drama was going on this weekend?
Yeah. We obviously heard, I don't remember what day it was last week, but, you know, Mark Spears, when he was on doing his like little segment on ESPN, he said that the Kings were a dark horse for DeMar DeRozan. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting, you know, because we obviously had like ties to Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma as always, you know, Lauri Markkanen. So I'm like, is that a realistic possibility? Because obviously we can't sign him via free agency. Like, we have to trade for him and he's a free agent. So we'd have to do a sign and trade situation. So I was like, okay, you know, we'll pay attention to that. But then when D'Lo tweeted about it, I was like, okay, there's actual something here, because he wouldn't be just tweeting to tweet. Like, that's not something he would do. And then, you know, James Hamm came out, you know, Sean Cunningham, the rest of those guys came out, and obviously they have sources within the organization that they trust, and I trust their expertise because they've been around the team for a very long time. So once that started happening, I was like, all right, something's going down, you know, we may hear something soon. And then, you know, Saturday night came along and I was like, okay, you know, maybe this might break soon, but then kind of nothing. And, you know, everyone, I guarantee every just like refresh on their timeline, just waiting for the Woj bomb, and it didn't come. And then, you know, Sunday, obviously, was it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday, right? I'm losing track of my days. Saturday, maybe. I don't remember.
No,
now.
Saturday. It was Saturday night.
Okay, that's right. So yeah, Saturday, because it was the first night of the California Classic. So Saturday, you know, we get notification that he's going to visit Sacramento. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, he's meeting with Monty, Mike Brown, you know, Wes Wilcox, all them. And, you know, that's good. You know, it's good that he's taking this meeting. Now they got to get it done. I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, if you let DeMar leave without a deal, he's not coming back. Like, he'll go to his next meeting and probably sign with that team. So I was like, they got to figure it out. Got to get the deal done, got to get situated, and then, you know, boom. So I'm just like, okay, you know, day goes on. I'm checking everyone's tweets that are connected. I'm looking, and I'm like, okay. And then as the time goes on, you know, like, oh, he's at Golden 1 right now, and people are taking pictures of him in the hallway. And I was like, okay, he's still there. And this is like hours and hours later of supposedly he landed. So I'm like, that's a good sign.
But before we move forward, BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
And then, you know, the first game was playing, and then obviously the Kings were playing their game last at 7, and then boom, news broke. Everyone started tweeting. DeMar DeRozan is a Sacramento King. You know, we're sending Harrison Barnes to the Spurs. We're sending Chris Dartway to the Bulls, a couple second-round picks, and then a pick swap in 2031 to the Spurs to, you know, seal the deal. And it was just like a crazy moment because I'm like, oh my God, like, we're getting a guy who of a caliber like DeMar DeRozan. And like, you can argue that he's the best free agent signing Sacramento has ever had in their history of free agents. Like, people just don't come to Sacramento. That's just the reality of the situation. So I was excited because, again, like, yeah, he's obviously getting older. He'll be 35 going into the season, but he was still at age 34, averaged 24 points a game. And I think like 5 rebounds, 4 assists, something crazy. And so he was still producing. He led the league in minutes last year, which is crazy. Played 79 out of 82 games, which is amazing. So to get a guy at that kind of caliber, he's a 6-time All-Star, 3-time, you know, All-NBA. That's so good. And then on the contract you get him on, you know, $23.3 million a year, like that right there is good. And so I'm excited. I just think there's much more that goes into it. I think, like, yes, he's a clear upgrade over Harrison Barnes. Like, that's not a debate. But I think what really stands out to me is, you know, he chose Sacramento. De'Aaron, you know, the reports of De'Aaron went to the meeting. They went to lunch, you know, played a big part in that, which I think is so awesome because, you know, everyone was freaking out about these reports of De'Aaron coming out of him not, signing an extension yet. And everyone's like, oh, is he going to leave Sacramento? And I'm like, well, he still has 2 years on his deal. He's trying to bet on himself. He wants to get the max extension, which good for him. He freaking earns it. He's been through hell in Sacramento for at least his first 2 years. And now he's, you know, kind of going on the up and up. So I just think that's so important. So I'm excited. That just whole, like, Friday night, Saturday, craziness, Sunday. Then it was like, oh, I can just kind of like decompress. And I'm like, oh my God, he's actually a Sacramento King. Like, this is freaking real. So yeah, I'm excited. I think there's moves still to be made, but that's definitely a move in the right direction from where we were. So, because obviously we knew that you couldn't run this team back for a third season. Like, they had to make adjustments and upgrades. And I just think that right there is a big step. So I'm really excited.
And we've been saying that all year, all season long, last season, right? Like, it's like, we run this back, we're not going to get past the first round. And we said it for this year's playoffs. And lo and behold, we don't even make the playoffs. You know, we win one play-in game in Soviet. And yes, Malik Monk was injured. Kevin Herter was injured. But yeah, absolutely. So the gist for you, though, Friday night, I mean, did you just sleep well or were you up late, refreshing your timeline?
I want to say something because I feel like DeMar, it kind of, is it me or is it kind of came out of nowhere? Because like, I feel like we were targeting like Kyle Kuzma and Lauri Markkanen and stuff. And then DeMar was just like, boom, we have a possibility to get DeMar. And of course, me being a little like, you know, hopeless Kings fan going like, he's probably just going to go home to LA. Like there's no, like, especially because the reports can't, oh, he's going to possibly sign with Sacramento. It's like, you know, a strong chance. And then they're like, but also the Clippers are in talks as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that because all week it was like Kings, Kings, Kings. But then Friday night, or right? Maybe it was Thursday, last second, oh yeah, the Clippers are interested too.
Exactly.
Not to mention, you know, he debuts, he makes his music video debut. He's in Kendrick Lamar's video. Mm-hmm. And so that became a thing. Oh, LA, LA,
of
LA.
Of course, LA, right?
Compton, California. And it's like, oh, he's going to be home.
Yes, so exactly. So that's how I felt like going into it was like Saturday night, like right before they announced it a couple hours before that he was going to sign with us. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this going to happen where like, you know, they just swoop him under us and just take. And I wouldn't be surprised. The thing is, I was just like, I wouldn't be surprised. It would be nice to have DeMar. But then my phone starts to blow up and I'm like, what is going on? Like, why are people sending me all these like DMs and stuff? It's literally the same tweet from like Woj saying like, or was it Shams? I don't know, one of them. And it was just like, oh, DeMar is signing with the Kings for this much, for these many years. And I literally like jumped up and I said, no way DeMar DeRozan is coming to us. Like Liz said, probably the biggest, not even probably the biggest free agent, like, you know, a player to sign with the Kings, you know. So like I'm so excited. I to make it a little personal, so I texted my sister, my older sister who lives in San Diego. I texted her, I was just like, we got DeMar DeRozan. And then she calls me and she's driving back home from LA to San Diego. It's like an hour and a half drive. And so that's what she sees. So then she calls me and we're just both going like, let's go on the phone. So like, I was definitely super excited. I'm so excited to have him in Sacramento. Definitely an upgrade. Like Liz said, I think everyone understands that, especially as Kings fans who watch games in and out and see where we struggled and things like that. So yeah, it's just like super exciting. And I've always loved DeMar's game. Like he's one of the few like mid-range masters in the game. So like I've always enjoyed watching him play because I feel like that's kind of a dying breed where like, you know, mid-range, it's all about the three now. So yeah, and he's a clutch player. Pretty sure he had like 7 point something points in the league, very much clutch and needed. So yeah, I'm just so excited to have him on our team.
So my question for both of you though is Friday night, did you guys just go to bed normally or
no?
Stay up late? Well, what's going on here?
I was so nervous. I'm like, I remember, I think it was Damien. Is that who was the reporter on it first?
Yes.
Yeah, D-Lo. Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
So I saw his tweet where he was just like light the beam, and then he put a picture of DeMar and everything. So that kind of gave me hope where I'm like, okay, hopefully tomorrow I'll wake up and he'll be a Sacramento King. But it wasn't until like literally like way later in the night. So like still on an edge. So like that night I was just like, okay, we hopefully we'll get him. Let me have some hope on this. But I was definitely nervous and hoping to wake up to good news. So yeah.
Yeah, obviously I was like, hope it happens tonight. Cause you know, that'd be like, I need some excitement or whatever, but I just went to bed normally. You know, I was like, I'll wake up. The news doesn't happen tonight. It's going to happen tomorrow. Because I remember, I believe it was James Hamm that tweeted Friday night that basically like everything was in place to do the, you know, like sign and trade. They had the team, the third team lined up to where they were sending, you know, at the time we didn't obviously know, but Harrison to the Spurs and then Dorte to the Bulls. Everything was lined up. They just needed DeMar basically to agree and say yes. So, and, you know, go through their contract negotiations. So, one, him taking the meeting in Sacramento was a really good sign. You know, I think that's important. Like, if you're going to come to a city, a team, you need to experience it. You need to meet with the front office, you know, and tour the facilities and, you know, kind of just do the whole thing and, you know, have lunch or, you know, whatever they did. I just think stuff like that is very important. So, and that's the thing is, you know, we're so traumatized by, you know, the past 16 years of just basketball hell. But with this, you know, with this front office, with this coaching staff, you know, I have confidence in them that they know what they're doing. And, you know, I couldn't say like, yes, 100% like DeMar's signing because I don't know, you know, I don't know DeMar personally. I don't know what he's thinking. But again, the fact that he took the meeting, he's coming to SAC. I'm like, it's up to our front office to seal the deal. And I have faith in Monty. I have faith in Mike Brown. And the thing that's exciting is, you know, 5 years ago, if this were to happen, DeMar's not coming to Sacramento. But the culture change that has been implemented in this, you know, time with Monty, with Mike Brown, you know, and the rest of the coaching staff, the players that are here, like that is super, super important. So, yeah, I was confident that they were going to get it done. Even if maybe they had to like pay a little extra for him, I think they were not going to let DeMar leave Sacramento. So I was just like, okay, like if he's in Sacramento, if he leaves and they report like he's left, he's, you know, taking a meeting with another team, then I'd be like, all right, that's a done deal. We need to move on. And I had a feeling, you know, because the reports like after everything came about, they said that, you know, like the Kings had interest in him from like the beginning of free agency. But obviously they had their eyes on bigger fish with Lori and things like that. But like once they kind of maybe like, you know, knew maybe they're not going to move Lori, and Danny Ainge is just kind of playing, you know, games a little bit. They're like, okay, we need to start doing some stuff and not just like wait around, because, you know, not everyone else is going to wait around as well. So I'm like, I feel like they're going to get this done. I was actually kind of confident that they were going to get this done. So I went to sleep fine Friday night, woke up, you know, normal, and then just kind of waited. And then obviously when the bomb dropped, it was just super exciting to be like, okay, it's done, it's real. And then once like Chris Haynes tweeted about De'Aaron being there and like taking part in the meeting, I just like, that made my heart super happy, because the fact that he was a pivotal piece in bringing DeMar in, you know, it sounds like Malik Monk talked to him as well. Even the little tie with like, you know, Devin Carter, like him and his dad, you know, Anthony Carter played together. Like, that's crazy. Like that even happened. Like, that's so amazing. So there's like a little tie there. Jay Triano obviously has the tie to him too. So I think that's extra crucial as well. So there's just a lot of little things that like were perfect for this situation. And I think, you know, they made DeMar feel at home immediately. And then I don't know if they planned like for him to come Saturday, if like that was the plan all along, but it was absolutely perfect, because the crowd was movie. Packed. Yeah,
it literally was a movie. Packed.
Yeah, and he walked out and they're playing They Not Like Us and he's getting cheered, and then Risse and De'Aaron walk out like they're the freaking royal damn family, because they are in Sacramento. Like, it was just all perfect. And this is what I love about being a Kings fan, is just moments like that that just make stuff like this so special. And so he seems happy. He seems like, you know, he's going to fit perfect. And I'm just excited, like, for the season to start, because I just want to see how all of this is going to go now.
Honestly, I hope someone does a documentary.
This is it. The legendary live band, Fish, returns to the road this summer. Fish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series. When you meet a burger that's got as much drip as you do, you know it's time to start rocking the napkin bib with your fit. No shame. Once everyone catches on to how fresh and juicy the double quarter pounder with cheese is, they'll all be stunting napkin fits. I swear.
I mean to fight this war and win it.
House of the Dragon is back for season 2, and so is the official Game of Thrones podcast. I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Greta Johnson. Together, we are going to be talking about every new episode of the HBO original series, House of the Dragon.
The second season starts Sunday, June 16th, but new episodes of this podcast start on May 22nd.
Listen directly on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. To war, then.
On the tweets and all the steps of this deal that transpired. If not, I might have to do it, because, yeah, all week we got those Kings are interested in also in DeMar DeRozan, especially after the BI, the Brandon Ingram stuff, not necessarily didn't fall through, but it just seemed to go in other directions because other teams started being mentioned in those conversations, as well as the Lauri Markkanen stuff, with Danny Ainge just being a little greedy, it seemed. And then as Naima and I were talking about, like, Friday, then the Clippers name gets mentioned along with these talks. And so for me, it was 50-50. And yeah, I'm still traumatized from the Kyle Kuzma deal with the Lakers falling through, as well as their original Dante DiVincenzo deal with the Milwaukee Bucks falling through. So it's like, yeah, this is 50-50. And then, of course, the main tweet was DeMar will be meeting with the Kings organization in Sacramento. Shout out Damian Barling, who didn't get credit, by the way, from Woj nor Shams. A few other people did, though, but he didn't get credit from the two biggest NBA newsbreakers. And I think the main tweet, though, for me that said, I think this is happening, was that Woj bomb where he talks about the San Antonio Spurs are trading guard Devontae Graham in a second round pick to the Charlotte Hornets. Which meant, yeah, okay, they're making space. Something's happening. This is a precursor to what's really going to happen for us to deal with them and get DeRozan. And then Damian, Saturday morning, I think he tweets, D'Amore has family in Sacramento, for what it's worth. And then a little later, he goes, if you have tickets to tonight's game, get them. If you don't have tickets to tonight's game, go ahead and get them now. So that was super exciting, not to mention Deuce's tweet, where it's like, if this was wrestling, the Kings will be warming up, the house lights will go black. Not like us, will come on the PA system, and D'Amore is going to walk in and be introduced as the late, as the newest Sacramento King. So it almost kind of happened that way. And I thought it was really, really exciting the way it happened. Yeah, Friday night, I was amped like everybody else. And I was talking to other Kings fans just off of Twitter. And we were talking about how we kept refreshing the timeline. Like, for me, it was every half hour. And my schedule is usually I stay up late. I wake up early because I got to, you know, take my dog to the park and whatnot. And then at some point during the day, I'll usually take a nap because I'm on fumes, right? I'm usually only getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep, if not less. But yeah, all Saturday I was energized. I didn't take a nap at all. I was just ready for the Woj Bomb. And yeah, that was exciting, I think, for the fan base as a whole. What a moment. He's the Sacramento King now. Super excited. And yeah, people are weird. You know, there's some people out there that are really wondering about the fit. And it's like, how do you wonder about the fit when A, it's already an upgrade from Harrison Barnes? And we'll get to him in a minute. We're going to give a little tribute and thank him for his service. But with a player that's so skilled, I think can fit anywhere. Am I wrong?
No. And I think too, like, once, this is the thing, once the news like broke, you know, everyone had to, you know, especially like these media people that you just like never see or hear of, they got to come out and give their grades on the trade and, you know, push this narrative and all this stuff. And it's like, I remember Leo Biaz, he does the Cowboy Kingdom. He actually did like a breakdown like a year ago on like DeMar DeRozan like fitting with the Sacramento Kings. And it's such a good breakdown of basically how you plug him right into Harrison's spot, and he can do everything that Harrison can do, but just 10 times better. And like, yes, DeMar is not a 3-point shooter, but he can drive, he can hit the mid range, he can get to the basket, he can, you know, draw fouls, get to the free throw line. Like, he's an 85% career free throw shooter. So, and that's what we need. Like, we did not have a guy like that, especially last season, that could just get us a bucket. I don't know how many times after games I'd be in spaces like, oh my God, why are we settling for a damn three? You're in the free throw penalty. Go to the freaking basket, draw a foul, and get to the free throw line. Like, it literally would drive me freaking insane. So now that you have a guy like that, you basically still can run your motion offense. And then he has that option to, you know, drive, pull up for the mid-range, or continue to go exactly like Harrison would do, but do it 10 times more than Harrison Barnes did. So it's like, I don't think there's going to be a question with the fit once it happens. I just think people on the outside that don't watch the Kings very often are questioning the fit. And it's like, God, go back and maybe watch some Kings game and kind of watch like Harrison Barnes' role with the Kings. But that's what you're going to get with DeMar, but like 10 times more, because DeMar is obviously, and this is no offense to Harrison Barnes, but he's all around a more skilled player than Harrison Barnes is. So I don't think there's going to be any issue with the fit. I think it's going to be fine. And again, I think our coaching staff is smart enough to make it work, because it's DeMar freaking DeRozan. Like, you're making it work.
The whole idea of, I think people just like to discredit the Sacramento Kings, and they have this perception of the team because of, like, you know, the previous years. And I get that. I totally get that. However, how are you going to question like Mike Brown and his coaching staff? You think he's just going to be thrown into the system that's being run right now and nothing is going to change? Like, come on now. Like, come on. These are professional coaches who have been coaching for decades and whatnot. So that whole idea is like all these like people on Twitter just, you know, copying the same thing people are saying and going like, I don't see the fit. I don't see the fit. Please. We have not even seen them play a game together. We are already so much better than we were last year. with Demar on the team. So I don't really listen to stuff like that when I'm like, let the professionals actually do what they're there for.
One, two, well, like, this could be a point. Like, obviously, I'm not comparing the player, you know, whatever. But the situation when Kyrie was traded to Dallas, people were questioning.
Yep, exactly.
Are Kyrie and Luka going to work? And it's like, yeah, maybe for a few games, they looked a little, weird. It wasn't like, this, you know, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? But then, you know, they had their full off season together. They went into the season and then, you know, they played together and they looked fine. I thought they complimented each other well. And Kyrie accepted his role. He knew that he was not the number one. He was the number two option. And Luka was the number one guy. He took that role. He embraced it. And then, you know, they won games. And then obviously they made their moves at the trade deadline and made their team better. And they went to the freaking NBA finals. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen to the Kings. So anyone listening to this, like, pump your brakes. I'm just saying we got to wait until there's some games actually played with them together before we can fully judge the situation. Because again, you know, the coaching staff is going to make those adjustments to make it work.
Exactly.
Like, that's what they do. That's what they get paid to do. They're not just going to be like, like, we're not going to make it work. Just figure it all out. Like, they're going to make it work. So I have no doubt in my mind that our coaching staff is smart enough to figure this out.
Well, overall, DeMar shoots 33% from three, which is actually respectable. That's enough for you to close out. And not to mention, in the heat of battle, if you get on the perimeter and you're getting the ball, and let's say your point guard or whoever gets into the paint, people are going to close out to you if you're on the perimeter about to shoot a three. No one's thinking in their head, oh, well, DeMar is only a 33% three-point shooter. Let me not close out on him. They're still going to close out. They've been doing it to Marcus Smart for his whole career, and he's not a high percentage three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You just do it. Once you are just respectable enough, people have to respect that and still close out. And so I still think the spacing is not going to be an issue. Not to mention, he's 39% from the corner, from the right corner, I believe. So there you go. Your spacing is right there. And so he could get the ball in the right corner and still operate and get to a spot in the mid-range or take that shot, which is totally fine. That's a shot I'll live with. 39% in the corner, totally fine. Not to mention, 2 years ago, there's a little team called the Beam Team, the first one, 1.0, who had the number one offense in the NBA. Before the Pacers were the number one offense historically in the NBA last season, two seasons ago before that, the original Beam Team, they were the number one offense in the NBA of all time. On that team, De'Aaron Fox was only shooting 32% from three, not to mention with Domas, who hardly even took any threes, so he wasn't necessarily a three-point shooter for all the spacing that, you know, the analytics people desire. So why not? You know what I mean? Now we're going to go into this season. Guess what? De'Aaron is a 37% three-point shooter. If DeMar has to be the on-ball creator to get the paint touches, and De'Aaron's going to be on the perimeter shooting threes, that's going to be part of our scheme as well. Not 100% of the time, but because De'Aaron's a better three-point shooter, this is going to work for sure.
Mm-hmm. When you make the good point, like, even though he's a 33% three-point shooter, you know, last year, it's DeMar DeRozan. Like, not to disrespect, but, like a guy like Keon Ellis, like, he's got to earn that respect from the three-point line. You know what I mean? Like, yes, he was obviously hitting some three-point shots last season, but, like, most teams aren't scared of Keon Ellis, but teams will be scared of DeMar DeRozan. He's an established player in this league. He's done what he's done. He has the resume to speak for itself. So you're not just going to leave DeMar DeRozan open on the freaking three-point line. Like, you're just not. So even if he, you know, if he can pump fake, he can drive to the basket, like I said, he can get it to the free throw line. Like, there's so much he can do off of that three-point line that just not a lot of players can go out and do. So, yeah, he could be shooting 33%. But a player still has to go out and respect that and guard him just because of the name on his jersey, because he is so established in this league and has the resume to speak for it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. DeMar is so clutch. Like, he was literally the most, isn't he the first player in NBA history to hit back-to-back buzzer beaters?
Yes.
Like, he was so clutch last year. And for him to do that, like Liz, you mentioned earlier, he played the most minutes, averaged the most minutes in the league as well. And to do it on like 24 points and things like that, like, he is, I think, exactly what we were missing. And yeah, we have like other things to fill and whatnot, but I think having him on our team is a step in the right direction.
Well, not to mention, he's an incredible passer as well. So you have DeMontis and DeMar on the floor together, two above average passers. That ball's going to be whipping around next season. Yep. I cannot wait.
When you got Monk coming off the bench too, possibly. So it's like you got passing craziness all around. Like it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, there may be a little bit of an adjustment period, but, you know, that's obviously what training camp's for, to work out those, you know, kinks and stuff in preseason games. They'll get to play together a little bit. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's a clear upgrade. The coaching staff is smart enough to make it work, you know. And obviously, like, I think, you know, this is the thing is, you know, when free agents started flying off the board, and I said this on our episode last week, like, not every, you know, because once every free agent started getting signed, everyone's tweeting out, oh, Monty, do something. Why didn't we sign this guy? And it's like, maybe they just didn't see that guy as a fit. They maybe, you know, or again, maybe they were waiting for something bigger. But a guy like DeMar DeRozan, you make fit. You know, you make it work. You know what I mean? And like I said, he's not going to be impossible. I don't think he's coming here to just be like, I'm him, I'm the number one guy, give me the ball and everyone get out of my way. Like, he's not coming in here to do that. He knows what he's walking into. He knows he has a guy like De'Aaron Fox. He knows he has a big like Domantas Sabonis. He knows he has a guy that's coming off the bench possibly in Malik Monk. So he knows what he's coming into. He's not coming into a situation where he just is like, nope, don't, like, it's me or Noah. You know what I mean? Like, he knows that he's going to have to play a certain style of basketball, or else I truly don't think he would have chosen to be in Sacramento. So I'm excited. And it, like you said, Naima, it's a step in the right direction, but there is still more moves that can be made.
Well, I'm thinking about the final teams this season, and Doncic was only shooting 32% from three during the playoffs. And then he was paired up with Lively, who didn't shoot at all, or Gafford. They never played them together. And then PJ Washington, the next lowest, was at 35%. So it's like totally doable. And we already know how dynamic DeMar is. So really shouldn't be an issue. And then surprisingly enough, I'm looking at Boston's starting five, if not even staggered with the bench with Pritchard and whatnot. So yeah, of course, it is quite a luxury for an NBA team to have 40% three-point shooters, right? So Derek White and Drew Holiday are shooting at 40%. Amazing. To me, they are the reason why Boston won the championship. Pritchard is at 38, but lo and behold, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown's was only shooting 32%. And then Jason Tatum was only shooting 28%. That's crazy to me. And we all know it works because those two are extremely dynamic players, as is DeMar DeRozan and De'Aaron Fox. Not to mention, we did fine last season. We were still in the upper half of the league when it comes to offense. And this is a year when Keegan had a down year, only shooting 31%, I believe, from the top of my head. I think I'm right about that. So I think we're going to be cooking, honestly, on offense.
Yeah. And I think, too, this is.
This is it. The legendary live band, Fish, returns to the road this summer. Fish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
The thing in the NBA, you know, yes, like obviously you need your couple of star players. Like that's just facts to be competitive. But your depth matters, and the pieces that you put around, you know, your main guys, and then, you know, your 8 to 10 man rotation, matters. Like, and that's what was proven, you know, for the past couple years with these championship teams. I mean, six different teams have won the NBA Finals the past 6 years. So the depth matters. And that's why I think the Boston Celtics were so great, is because they obviously had, you know, their two guys and Jalen and Jason, but they had the guys around them to, you know, carry the load too and do their part when needed. But like, no one had to just go absolutely nuclear to have them win at all. Like, every guy contributed, every guy did their job, and it worked. And that's what I think is so important for all these teams, is you have to have a deep, you know, bench in order to be competitive. And so I look at it like, you know, we obviously have De'Aaron. I think he shot like 37% from three last year, which is, you know, the best I think he did has in his career. And then, you know, Malik can shoot from three. Keon, you know, obviously was starting to get really comfortable shooting from three. Keegan obviously can go off from three. And then if Herter is still on this team, like, I think Herter can still, you know, he can still do something. Like, he's not a complete, you know, wash and like, oh, he's done, like, his career's over. Like, Kevin Herter is a shooter. Shooters go through slumps. They struggle, but he can get back and he can still hit some threes for us. And so if he's coming off the bench, like, who says he can't just come in and give you some threes off the bench, or give you whatever he needs to give you off the bench? So if he's still on this team, like, I think he can definitely play a really pivotal role, you know, coming off that bench and providing some depth as well. So it's going to be really interesting. Like, they definitely have, like, this signing now helps kind of, you know, shape out, like, helps them able to shape out the rest of their roster, whether that's making another big move or whether it's making small marginal moves around the, you know, edges to just kind of fill out the roster and complete it and be ready for the, you know, the season and go in it and figure out what they need to figure out. So I'm excited. I think they have definitely options that they can go and routes safe they can go. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Well, speaking of bench or depth, we have Malik Monk shooting at 35%, but his 35% is actually sneaky, because for me, Malik Monk, in I'm sure Synergy or some other statistical site has this, but Malik Monk always seems to make threes when they're more difficult, A, and B, in the clutch. I trust him with the final shot when it's an overtime or 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, right? Not to mention Keon Ellis, who to me, and people who I trust have confirmed this, that I'm not crazy. He's our version of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He is so KCP, it's not even funny. He's shooting 41% from three. Not to mention Trey Lyles at 38%. So it's like, all these pieces, all these toys for Jay Chirano and Mike Brown to work with. It's going to be exciting. You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, our team can stay healthy, because last year I feel like we had a lot of, like, especially, like, the Monk one, I feel like, was the biggest, and then Kevin also going down. Even though, like, Kevin maybe didn't play that well in his minutes as well as we wish he would have, but still, that's still players able to hit shots and whatnot for us, and that's what we struggle with, so... Hopefully, like, knock on wood, that we can stay healthy. And I'm so excited to see how, like, DeMar fits the team and everything. I think it's gonna be great.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, I think that's what kind of helps bringing in a guy like DeMar. Because if, you know, like, obviously, that's what we struggled with once, you know, Herter and Malik went down. Like, outside of De'Aaron Fox, like, it was really hard for anybody else to be consistent in getting a freaking bucket. Like, Keegan would have his games and then he'd fall off. Keon would have a good game, then he would fall off. You know, like, it was like, we have, you know, Barnes would have a good game, he would fall off. So it was like, oh my god, like, we're struggling. We have no one out there when Fox is not playing. We have no one on the floor that can just go get a bucket. Like, and that's what we were struggling with towards the end of the season, when there was no, you know, when Fox wasn't on the floor, like, it was hard for anyone to just go out there and consistently score. So having a guy like DeRozan, if you do have to lose maybe a guy like Malik for a few games, I don't think it would hurt as bad now than what it did last season, because you have a guy who can create his own shot, go get a bucket, who was averaging 24 points a game last season. Like, no one else on our team was doing that. So I just think that would be super important too. But again, yeah, health is going to be super important. But I think we would be better off if someone had to go down for a little bit with DeMar on the team than, you know, with him not on the team.
Oh, and I forgot one of the main stats about DeMar DeRozan is he shoots 85% from the free throw line. Not to mention he gets to the line almost 8 times a game. That in itself is going to take us out of the cellar in free throw shooting percentage. Not to mention, I am sure that will inspire the rest of his teammates on the Kings to just be better from the line, right? It's ridiculous. But moving forward, you know, I called the segment, shout out to the Beatles, hello, goodbye. Davion Mitchell, Jalen Slauson, Jordan Ford, Chris Duarte, and Harrison Barnes are no longer Sacramento Kings. Technically, I'm sure there's some sticklers. No, wait a minute. Jordan Ford is still on the Sacramento Kings Summer League team, but I put him on this list because his two-way contract was not renewed or extended. I don't know what the proper term is. And neither was Jalen Slauson's. So, yeah, it's a little bittersweet this weekend. I think the sweet overtook the bitterness because it was DeMar DeRozan, a free agent signing with the Kings. But, yeah, Davion Mitchell was traded to Toronto for Jalen McDaniels. Let's talk about it. What's one of your favorite Davion Mitchell's memories? For me, it goes to Summer League in the championship game where between the Kings and the Boston Celtics. And I think a few days before, Peyton Pritchard lit up a Pro-Am league for, I don't know, 70-something points, 50-something points? I don't know. And that was the talk, right? Peyton Pritchard's going to ball out in this Vegas Summer League game. And Davion Mitchell clamps him, and the Kings win the Summer League championship. What are yours?
Honestly, anytime Davion guarded Steph Curry was like, it was exciting to watch him like guard any player, but him in particular, like he really rose up to the challenge. And yes, I understand like Steph is Steph. He's going to get his points, but you can't tell me he didn't make it hard for him and exhausting for him on the floor. So yeah, I'm definitely going to miss Davion. Like he did improve over the years and everything, especially his 3-point shooting. But you know, sometimes players, beloved players get traded in order to make teams better and everything. So I'll always be grateful for the time he was a Sacramento King. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite play from him, and I believe it had to have been his very first game in the NBA, like regular season. And I think we were playing the Utah Jazz. Well, no, I know we were playing the Utah Jazz because Donovan Mitchell. It was when he locked up Donovan Mitchell and stole the ball from him. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, because Donovan Mitchell, like, is obviously, you know, bigger than Davion. So when he locked him up and just took that ball right out of his hands, I was like, okay. And the crowd went absolutely crazy. Like, we were at home, it went crazy. So that was probably, like, will always be one of my favorite Davion memories. But yeah, I mean, it was exciting to see him, you know, because obviously his minutes were inconsistent and things like that because he did struggle, you know, offensively. Like his defense, you could always know that he was going to bring his defensive side. But it was cool because last season he obviously, you know, got with Steph Curry's, you know, shooting guy and, you know, worked on his shot. And then we kind of saw it come to life towards the end of the season, which was really cool to see. And he definitely played a big role, you know, once Malik and, you know, Huerter went down, you know, and kind of helping us. And especially, you know, in those like last 10 games, like I just thought he was so crucial in helping us, you know, with a lot of those wins. So yeah, I'm going to miss him. I just, you know, he was very humble. You know, you knew he was always going to be busting his butt in the gym. You know, they literally probably had to lock him out of the gym because he wouldn't freaking leave. So I love guys like that, you know? And so reading his goodbye message on Instagram was bittersweet, but it's good to know that, you know, us as fans are doing our job and making people feel like, you know, they're welcome, like they're at home, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's definitely gonna be bittersweet, but I'm excited to watch him in Toronto. You know, I think he's gonna get a bigger opportunity, obviously, with the team that's, you know, in a rebuild situation. So it's going to be fun to watch him being able to, you know, truly get like a good consistent role and hopefully be able to thrive in that situation. I hope he does not do good against the Kings. I'm sorry. You can't do that. But
oh, he will. Team... he will. I'm will. Dreading playing the Raptors, honestly.
Yeah, but yeah.
And good luck scoring on them.
Yeah.
Good luck scoring on the Raptors with Davion and why am I blanking on his name? Young stud. Oh gosh.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I can't think of his
name. Oh, sorry. But Scotty Barnes. It's like yes. Davion and Scotty Barnes on the same floor together is going to be a defensive nightmare. I do want to shout out Chris Duarte. Thank you for your service on the Sacramento Kings. Anybody who has Chris Duarte slander only watches one side of the floor. Sure, offensively, it was rough at times, but defensively, a lot of times he was our most physical defender. Wings, I'm sorry, but he was great for us at times on the defensive end. And there were times where players were running through us like butter, and Mike Brown would put in Chris Duarte to rough him up a little bit and go over screens. And that's what we needed. Granted, sometimes it didn't end up in wins, but you still wanted to see somebody put up an effort on the defensive end. So I'm going to miss him because I think he just needed some time to get comfortable and get acclimated into the system, not to mention he was coming off an injury. So hopefully he continues to get contracts in the NBA. Good luck to him. But finally, last but not least, this hurts. The San Antonio Spurs put up a graphic today of Harrison Barnes in the San Antonio Spurs uniform. And oh man, that was really strange to see. I've always been an HB truther. I've always defended him in spaces when he would lay a goose egg every now and then on the stat line. But again, you and I, Liz, would always say, well, what's he going to do when he only has four shot attempts, or he was the fifth option, right? But my goodness, that's bittersweet. Your favorite HB moment?
Yeah, I think my favorite will always be that game winner that he hit against the Phoenix Suns. That was just exciting because any game winner obviously is exciting because it's game winner, you win the game. But yeah, I mean, that was just like, you know, such a big shot, I thought. You know, obviously the team, you know, wasn't like great at that time, but it's just always exciting to see them, you know, them working their butts off in the gym and then him hit a game winner and the team get to run up and cheer and, you know, do that. So I definitely think that was my favorite memory of Harrison Barnes, but just his time in Sacramento all around, like he came here, he was traded from Dallas, you know, mid game, which was crazy. He was literally sitting on the bench and I remember the graphic popped up and, you know, he came to Sacramento and when he came, it wasn't pretty. He was in a situation where the Kings were really, really bad outside of him and De'Aaron. Like him and De'Aaron were the two best guys on the team at the time. And he always just came to work, you know, I mean, he played a crazy amount of games. Like he was rarely injured, just was always showing up to work, just always a true professional. On and off the court. And just, I think what's so underrated about him is what he does in the community, you know, which is so awesome because when you're in the NBA, you know, sometimes you're moving city to city to city. But he was here for a good chunk of his NBA career. So for him to be able to, you know, get with the community, do what he was doing in the community was just super important. And yeah, I'm going to miss Harrison, you know, again, yeah, he wasn't, you know, the most flashy player. He, you know, had some games where he laid goose eggs, but then he also had some really exciting games. And even just this past season when he lit up the freaking Warriors, I mean, that was just like the shots that he was making, I'm like, who is this Harrison Barnes right now? Like he was just turning around, hitting him over Draymond, hitting him over Curry, like just doing, I was like, I love you right now, Harrison Barnes, but I loved him always. But yeah, that one's definitely bittersweet. But I'm happy if he is going to be traded, I'm happy that it's at least he's getting routed to the Spurs because I think, you know, the Spurs, I don't think they're going to be like, you know, NBA contenders by any means next season. But I think they're going to be very exciting to watch. They have a lot of young pieces. So him going there in a situation where he can be that vet like he was to the Kings team, you know, bring some championship experience, you know, bring playoff experience, things like that to a team like that, along with Chris Paul, I think is going to be an exciting thing to see. So I'm happy at least he's going there, because if he was going to the Bulls, I'd feel absolutely horrible, because that just situation is just a crap show. But yeah, I'm truly going to miss Harrison. That one hurts, because he's been here for so long. And like I said, he's done a lot on and off the court. And, you know, he's always, you know, welcomed everyone with open arms, and the fans have not welcomed him with open arms by any means. But yeah, definitely going to miss him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really critical of Harrison Barnes, but at the same time, I can always be grateful for like what he's given Sacramento, the Kings, and especially Sacramento. Like, he's just an upstanding guy. There's really nothing, like, especially as a person, there's really nothing to hate about him, because anywhere he goes, like, he would just uplift the community he was part of and everything. As for my favorite moment, that probably the Cavs game winner. That was just a crazy time. So any like type of excitement in sports was nice, because I remember it was like the peak of the pandemic and everything. And then also the I think it was Katie who was calling that game as well, like with other women as well. It was like the women's night, and like Morgan was also on the call and everything. So it was just a really cool moment. And for him to hit it was just like, you know, cool. And we're not really going to do anything this season, but hey, he hit a game winner, and that's always exciting.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was the game winner where it was De'Aaron Fox throwing it from the baseline.
Yep,
so he throws a Hail Mary pass. Mm-hmm. He catches it on the slot,
turns
and
it up,
hits yeah. it, you know, right above the break, hits the game winner. And then he spanks Colin Sexton on the ass. Was like, which was so unexpected from Harrison Barnes. Like, why are you spanking him on the ass?
Right.
Colin Sexton was like, what the hell? He didn't know how to react. I wouldn't know how to react if somebody spanks me on the
right,
ass.
Especially after the game winner.
I think if it was like anyone but Harrison Barnes, he might have turned around and punched him.
Yeah, maybe.
He noticed it was Harrison. He's like, all right, you don't normally do stuff like this, so I'll let it slide.
Harrison Barnes is, that's unk, right? So
yeah,
what can you do? And then, you know what? I want to get to the WNBA, but let's do a really quick California Classic takeaway segment. I'm just going to say this. Doug Christie has those young men playing out of their minds. They are diving on the floor, busting through walls for Coach Doug Christie. Seeing Colby Jones and Keon Ellis picking up their man 94 feet just doesn't even seem fair. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I love Doug Christie. I love Doug Christie as a player, and I love him even more that he has, you know, he came back to Sacramento. He was doing obviously like commentating, and now he's on, you know, went back to coach or went into coaching, and now he's on, you know, the coaching bench and stuff. And yeah, he has those boys playing absolutely out of their mind on the defensive end. And it's impressive. I mean, obviously the assistant coaches are helping him well as well, but like even on the offensive end, they look like a seasoned team. Like, it was insane to me that just like the passing that they were doing in these games, I'm like, this doesn't look like a team that you just kind of threw together and just were like, here's a couple days of practice, now go play a game. Like, looked like they had some time together and they were like really gelling, and like the ball was zipping around and guys were hitting shots. Like, they look like a really well put together, prepared team. So that's kudos to Doug. And obviously he had Lindsey Harding on the bench with him, and, you know, the other, you know, people of the coaching staff. So the thing that kind of irks me too, I'm like, obviously, like, I love Doug, and like, it would hurt to lose him, but it's like, how has he not gotten like an opportunity to go maybe, you know, get interviews for a head coaching job? I think that might be coming soon, because if you can get a guy like JJ Redick as a head coach who never has coached then Doug Christie absolutely deserves at least a freaking interview for a head coaching job. But again, I don't want to believe, but he does deserve it.
And we'll see, though. I mean, maybe they give the G League, I mean, the Stockton Kings to him, or he's obviously going to be at the front of the bench. I say in 2 to 4 years, man, we're going to see Doug Christie on the sidelines for another team. It's going to be really sad. Or he'll be like an associate coach for somebody out there, because you just see it, man. He looks like a genius. He looks like a mad scientist out there on the sidelines. And those young men are just playing so hard for him. I do want to shout out Boogie Ellis really quick. I just saw him destroying my USA Bruins all the time in his final year, or actually in his whole college career in the Pac-12. RIP, by the way. But yeah, he was playing well, picking up people 94 feet, altering shots, fighting over screens every single time. He was guarding Jamari Bouye, who is a bucket, by the way, but he was forcing him to make a pass when he wanted to shoot. He also forced a bad pass turnover. Incredible display of tenacity from Boogie Ellis. We aren't even going to talk about the rumors of Kyle Kuzma.
This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
Or Lauri Markkanen. We're going to move straight into the WNBA. This is our Week 8 recap. Anything notable, Naima, in the WNBA?
I feel like, yes, at the top of the list, I feel like I have to give a shout out to Angel Reese, breaking the record for most consecutive double-doubles in one season. That is an incredible feat considering like all the players that have come through, and the person who had that record before was actually Candace Parker at 12. So she broke the record for, you know, she has 13 consecutive double doubles. So I think that's like the number one thing in the WNBA. Cause man, this rookie of the year race is something else. I don't think it's ever been this like back and forth, in the history of the league. Especially at this rate,
would you hate it if they were co rookie of the year? Or is it more like, one or the other?
Yeah. Like it's hard because, like, I could totally see the argument why it would be co-rookie of the year. However, give it to the person who I feel like really deserves it and everything. And in my opinion, right now, like, Angel Reese just has that slight edge in it because she's not only breaking, like, rookie records, she's literally breaking, like, all-time WNBA records. But, again, Caitlin Clark just had a triple-double, first rookie to ever have a triple-double in a game, so... Man, the race is heating up, and I just love it because that just means, you know, the game is moving forward, the WNBA is moving forward, and it's just getting more exciting, more eyes on it, and yeah, it's just, I just love it. I love it.
Well, I will say, with Angel Reese, I feel like statistically, she contributes to winning basketball as far as her contribution to the wins. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Whereas mm-hmm. Caitlin, and it's not Caitlin's fault, considering the team is struggling a lot, right? So I don't know. It's tough to say. I would say Angel Reese has a better background cast, supporting cast.
They didn't struggle against the Liberty, though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that game was very exciting as well.
More on the Liberty or?
Yeah, it was honestly, like, I don't want to discredit the Fever. But yes, it was absolutely on Liberty because JJ, again, oh my gosh. But yeah, it was just they couldn't, first of all, buy a bucket, and like the New York offense kind of just was stagnant and they were moving it around, turning over the ball, whining to the refs, like whining. Like there was this one play where JJ got the rebound and she thought it should have been a foul. They didn't call it. She starts whining, and Aaliyah Boston literally just steals the ball out of her hands, and Kelsey Mitchell hits a three on the wing after she gets a pass. So things like that, you know, like that shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be doing that. Like, just go on with the next play. That's literally how you lose games. But yeah, like, the Fever just wanted a little more. As for, like, I mean, Chicago also beat New York. It was, like, I think the third or fourth game of the season for New York and them, so... it's always a matchup thing. And also, it's extremely hard to beat a team three times in a row, except unless you're the New Orleans Pelicans and you're playing the Kings. But
exactly.
Right. So, yeah, it's just honestly just exciting things all around happening with these rookies. Like, such a great class. Like, even like this with the Sparks, like beating the Aces, because like Rekia Jackson, like, you know, I believe she was a fourth overall pick, you know, doing like great things as a rookie. I think she's like the most prepared rookie. Like, her game fits the best in the WNBA. I wish she played more. Kurt Miller needs to change that. But yeah, just a lot of exciting things happening in this for this rookie class.
So with the Sparks though, I mean, were they really hurt by Cameron Brink's injury, or have other players picked up the slack?
I think it's a combination of both. With Cameron Brink, she changed the game for them at the rim for sure. Like, without a doubt, like that. It's actually crazy, like how effective she is in. It's not that crazy, I guess, because like she's just a prolific shot blocker, and whatnot. But I think they weren't really winning many games with her either, and they're not really losing more games than they are without her either. It's kind of just been the same. They've been on a losing streak, but you know, with Hamby playing the Aces, she always goes up for that. For, you know, they traded her away, and in my opinion, did her dirty. So the team just plays a lot harder against the Aces for her in particular. So, but honestly, that game was so exciting to watch. I don't know if you guys caught it, but it was a really exciting matchup.
I watched that game.
Yeah, it was really great. Like, De'Erica played a great game. Asia had a great game. Like, yeah, it was so much fun to watch as a neutral.
Yeah, I think Asia, Kelsey had a good game too.
Yeah.
Kelsey's been killing it as well.
Mm-hmm. Really out of that shooting slump, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, she could have hit the game winner and then missed it, so that's when they went to overtime. But yeah, I will say on the rookie of the year stuff, I talked about this. I was in like a Twitter space and we were talking about this discussion. I do think, you know, whatever team finishes higher in the standings, I think that will be a rookie of the year. I just think that's going to go into people's decisions, like the people that are voting. I think truly, you know, because I feel like that's how the NBA works too. You know, it's like the awards go to these people that, you know, their teams are good, you know, things like that. Or they have those narratives out there. So I just think with the whole rookie of the year, I think whichever team finishes higher, I think that's who's going to get that rookie of the year award.
And or major market, though. I always feel the NBA always chose the players from the major market, which we all know Chicago is Trump's in Indiana Fever in that respect. Yeah, it'll be tough. I'm on the fence. I see the argument for both.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Like, Caitlin Clark is putting up numbers no other player has ever put up with, like 16, 6, and 7. So it's just, again, like, it's such a tight race, and anyone who is saying otherwise is not watching, because it's been exciting from the start. Like, Caitlin Clark won Rookie of the Month for May. Angel won Rookie of the Month for June. So it's just like, who's gonna win Rookie of the Month for July? Like, it's just it's exciting, and it's close, and that's what you love to see, right? You don't always want like runaways and stuff, unless obviously you're the fan of one of the players or whatnot. So yeah,
right. And you already know whatever the decision is, one side of the fan base is going to be upset. You cannot make anybody happy with that award.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Co. If you know, they both deserve it, but even if they were to announce rookie of the years, that's going to get people upset.
Oh yeah,
you know, I was going to say that would probably.
I think that would have made them more upset. If I'm being honest,
I think more. I think there'd be more uproar if it was a co situation. Yeah. Than anything.
Yeah. So I'm already prepared. I mean, you already know there's going to be a Caitlin Clark bias, anyways. So it's going to be a mess. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep. Yep.
All right, so moving forward, we gave Naima homework, and we wanted her to talk about the top five power forwards under 27 in the WNBA. And then go ahead and explain your reasoning why you didn't want to do the age of 25.
25, yeah. So I'm sure, like, whoever's listening, like us, like, we're always talking about it in the context of the NBA. And for the NBA, you're allowed to enter the league when you're like, what, 19 years old. And whereas in the WNBA, you have to, you know, be turning 22 the year of the draft. So like that's like 3 years right there that like you're developing already in the NBA, whereas like in the WNBA you're literally a rookie, where in the NBA you would be, I don't know if that makes sense, but like you're spending, like they're not that many players at under the age of 25 who are power forwards in the league. Like a lot of times it's like guards or centers and things like that, so it's just hard to pick out like specifically. And then whoever is a really great like power forward, it's like they're above the age of 27. I kind of cheated on the assignment, so don't kill me for that. So that's like my reasoning, if that makes sense.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Yeah, so okay, so I try to go like you know, the season vet, sort of, not really vets, but vets. And then I also tried to get like, you know, younger players, rookies as well. I'll throw in an honorable mention right now. But, and what I mean by I cheated was I chose players who are 27 and under. So yeah. I'll just say the list. There's not really a ranking, but obviously, can you guys believe Asia Wilson is 27 years old and she's already done all this winning? You know, so she was at the top of my list. I actually was shocked when I looked up her age. Like she will be 28 soon, though, like next month or something like that. But yeah, I mean, what is there to say about Asia Wilson, right? What isn't there to say, right? You know, breaking all these records. She just became the all-time leading scorer for that franchise, the Aces franchise, who used to be San Antonio, who used to be Utah. So yeah, like I think it just speaks for herself. She's a two-time champ, finals MVP, two-time MVP, two-time defensive player of the year. So that's who I chose. That's who I thought of first. And then my player from the Minnesota Lynx, Nafisa Collier, a player who I believe like isn't talked about enough. Like she is so great on both sides of the floor. She is coming into her own. Last year, I felt it coming when in 2020 in the offseason when the Lynx offered her the Supermax and was pushing her after Sylvia Fowles retired, pushing her as a face of the Minnesota Lynx. That's when I really knew. I'm like, this is Fee's team. This is Nafisa's team. And she's just got to, you know, step up and you know, prove to the Lynx like why it was a good decision for them to choose her as the face. And you know what? I guarantee you right now, like the Lynx are extremely happy. She has been putting up MVP numbers this season, last season, like, you know, has made all WNBA teams, all defensive teams. Is short of a championship. You know, she hasn't had the best like supporting cast and everything, but this year there's definitely a chance. Unfortunately, she's injured right now. It's nothing too serious, but they're just managing her right now, so like not playing her when she doesn't have to, especially because she's in the Olympics. She's also Olympic gold medalist in that department as well.
By the way, you cheated again because she's going to be 28 after the
season. I'm sorry, I cheated a little bit. Man, to be honest, when I was making the list, I didn't realize it said under, but sorry.
all good.
Yes. Hey, but the next three, they're all under 26. I only had two players are 26, they're under 27. The next player is Satu Sabally. She plays for the Dallas Wings. Such a versatile player at her height. I believe she's 6'4", just one of the few players who scored 40 points last year. It's so unfortunate, though, because there's so many what-ifs with her because she's had so many injuries. So, but in the time that she has been able to play, like, she has shown, like, she's such a great player. Like, in my opinion, should be the number one option for the Dallas Wings. So, she'll be playing for Team Germany. I'm in the same group as Team USA. So that should be exciting. If y'all tuning in, y'all should definitely watch her. She's definitely a player to watch with Germany, and it should be a good game. And we were just talking about her, Angel Reese, you know, just in her rookie season, she is putting up monster numbers. Like she's on pace to breaking the all-time rebounding record. Granted, This season is a little longer than the season that like it was set by another player who was Sylvia Fowles. But if you're breaking a Sylvia Fowles record, come on now. You know, you're destined for greatness and things like that. So Angel Reese, definitely another great power forward. And then last but not least, Aaliyah Edwards. Now, Aaliyah Edwards, if you watched her at UConn, you see like how special and the potential she has to be. And that's why I included her in this list. Watching her on the Mystics, you see spurts of like of her playing really well. And then I don't know, it's kind of weird because they're kind of like tanking in a way, and they have a lot of injured players. Eric, their coach, I don't really know. I don't want to question a head coach, but I don't know if he knows how to use her in the lineup. But when she does play a lot of minutes, she shows like she is her highlights of her so far of her young career in her rookie season. You know, she put up 23, 14 rebounds, like when she plays that true power forward position. And when she was in college at UConn, she was actually playing center, so she was playing out of position. But whenever she did get to play her true position, I mean, she rocked it out there. So yeah, Aaliyah Edwards, definitely a player to watch for the future. And then an honorable mention is Nelissa Smith. I feel like especially her rookie season, this I believe is her third. She has potential to be really, really good. I just hope she doesn't. I hate using the word lazy, but sometimes when you watch her out there, I feel like she's disengaged at times. Like when she's engaged in games, like the Fever are so much better. Like that game against Phoenix, like last week, I think it was last week. And then this game against New York, same with that. Like she's so versatile at her height as well. But yeah, like again, so much potential in what she can become. I hope she like lives up to her potential, because I've always loved watching her play, especially when she was at Baylor. So yeah, those are five players plus an honorable mention.
Awesome. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. I got to figure out what your next homework assignment is. So
oh my gosh.
I will let you know by, I don't know, Wednesday. So that way you have some time to research. Thank you so much for your time. Liz, any last words?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited. I'm excited for the rest of the summer to pan out. Obviously, we got news that Devin Carter is going to be having shoulder surgery. So a little bummed about that. But as Monty said, you know, you're not drafting players for just the right now. You're drafting them for the future as well. So hopefully he recovers soon, but not too soon. You know, I trust the, you know, training staff and the doctors to get him right, make sure he's 100% before letting him, you know, go on the court. So, but yeah, I mean, just like I said, the DeRozan signing is just a massive step in the right direction, especially for this franchise. So I'm excited to see how it works out, and I'm excited to, you know, continue watching the summer league happen, you know, this weekend. That's going to be exciting as well. Hopefully our guys can bring home the summer league championship, because that would obviously be exciting for those young guys as well.
And the alien trophy, by the way.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it's exciting to be a fan of Sacramento right now. Obviously we've all had really, you know, low lows with this team, but you know, there's been some really high highs, especially in the past couple of years. So I just am excited that, one, we were able to get to DeMar DeRozan, and I just don't think we're done yet. So we'll just kind of have to wait around and see, you know, what happens and what Monty McNair has up his sleeves, or his vest, I should say. But yeah, I'm excited, y'all.
Sam Vesty, shout out.
Facts.
No, but yeah, like Liz said, I feel like this is a good feeling for Kings fan. Like we're making the moves. Like, man, people wanted moves. I mean, Monty is obliging, right? Like, he's literally doing that. And I feel like we just need to, like I've been saying, like, patience. Yeah, guys, patience. You know, he's working hard. Again, it's hard to get free agents, especially to the Kings, unfortunately. But, hey, we got DeRozan. Who knows who's coming next? And I'm just excited to see, like we said, how it pans out for the rest of the summer. And I'm excited for the season to start. I feel good about this.
Yeah, I'm really glad Monty is just risk averse, and he's not jumping 20 move just to make a move. He's actually thinking about it. The fact that we got DeMar DeRozan for two second rounders and two players that, you know, didn't produce as much as we wanted them to. And as far as the fan base goes, wanted them off the team anyways. Not me, by the way. I appreciate Chris Duarte and HB for what they did for the team, their contributions to the team. But, you know, I understand how a lot of people would be excited for them being traded. It is what it is. And yeah, exciting times are coming. Monty is not done yet. Sam Vesti is not done yet. And it's exciting. Like we said, and then also we have tomorrow's California Classic, the final game tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, I think, this weekend is the start of the Vegas Summer League. So lots of
Wednesday
is
the championship in San Francisco for the inaugural Mitch Richmond Award. So we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome. Well, that's it. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Good day, a good night, and light the beam.
This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at livenation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.